Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the inside word on what's happening right now and what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. Now, interest rates finally coming down, and so many of us breathing a sigh of relief on that, but especially the people with a mortgage. So how do you make the most of that? Maybe even get ahead with the new interest rates getting to work. Let's get under the skin of the banking world for this one and ask for their secrets. This week, we've partnered up with Kiwi Bank, who's kindly lent us their expert, Nicole Pervin, and we're going to smash through this topic. You've sent me so many questions on this. Let's get through them. Before we get into it, Making Sense is stoked to be supported by Kiwi Bank. We've teamed up to bring you insight directly from their people, the experts who live and breathe this stuff every day. It's not the outdated stuff that worked 5 years ago. It's what's happening right now in the industry to help you make the most of your money. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Thanks so much for coming on, Nicole. Honestly, welcome. I think everyone's been hanging out for these lower interest rates, and they've been sending me questions as soon as we started to see this trend coming through. Certainly, I'll never say no to a lower rate. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. I think everyone has been waiting for these moves to happen. And it's a lovely reprieve for our mortgage payments, isn't it?
Oh, really is. Your cash rate, the OCR, seems to be on a bit of a falling trend. Now, none of us have a crystal ball that works properly, but it seems to be heading in that direction. What do you think? Where might we be going from here? What are all the signs telling us?
Everyone is really in the thick of the impact that Trump's announcements made, and probably the impact that the geopolitical environment is having on interest rate markets. What you see when you've got uncertainty like the one around tariffs and the announcement and what that does, it really impacts our interest rate curves, and they're the curves that we use in a bank to price, you know, home lending rates on. And so that means the cost of borrowing is changing daily at the moment. So that means there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of understanding what we can do in terms of rates, because is it a blip for today, or is it a blip that's going to continue for the next couple of months? So there's a lot of unknown that's being created through that uncertainty. But what we're looking for is what the impact of these announcements and conversations are having on inflation. So we have been coming off a high inflation environment. We've reduced rates now that inflation has been beaten. So we use rates to just try and beat inflation and bring prices back. And so that's why we're starting to see a cooling there, which brings, you know, is bringing rates down. If we see that inflationary environment come back again, or we get more pressure, then you'd see the RB starting to look and go, oh, do we need to, you know, try and hold the economy a little bit by putting interest rates up? But on the flip side, we've got a market that has been really impacted by these high rates over the last couple of years. You've got your retail market, the lending markets. And so it's a real balance for the RB to go, how do we keep stimulating the economy to drive business growth, but also making sure we're protecting, you know, consumers and our economy from inflation. So it's a real balancing game. And I don't envy anyone sitting in the seat having to make those decisions.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because I think we talk a lot about, you know, these OCR decisions and the Reserve Bank putting out the interest rates, which is really important. They are, of course, often responding to world events themselves, as well as the domestic environment. But there's also a lot of the banks in New Zealand also have borrowing from international money markets as well, right? So it's not just necessarily the interest rates that are set here. It can also be impacted hugely in places like the US, right? How big are those factors in terms of the domestic versus the overseas?
Different banks have different exposures and in terms of how they fund really their lending and mortgage books. For the New Zealand retail banks, you know, a lot of it is funded through a domestic deposit. So making sure we've got mum and dad savers, or, you know, putting their money in, that really helps fund a big part of the lending in New Zealand. But access to those offshore markets does make a difference in terms of meeting some of our other, you know, capital requirements. So it is a really important, it's really important that we can access these other markets, because at the end of the day, it all flows through either into profitability or the impact on consumers and the rates that they're presented through any of their products, whether it be a home loan or a savings product. So it's really important for us to be monitoring, to really look at how we're optimizing, you know, access to these markets so we can pass on the benefits to our customers.
Okay, well, that's the context. OCR heading downwards, whole bunch of stuff still happening on in the world. So be prepared, people. It's all a bit weird at the moment. But if people do have a mortgage and they're thinking, okay, well, maybe a bit of breathing space here, there's lots of options, right? So you can fix for different lengths of time, you can float. What goes into what you should consider when you're looking at your options and thinking, how do I make the most of this for my situation?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the first and foremost is every individual situation is different. And so there's no one rule for all of this. But I think there's probably two things that I think about. Firstly, what are your goals? What are your financial goals? What do you want to achieve? How much debt are you willing to take on or not? Like, you know, thinking about those financial goals and what's going to make you comfortable in terms of your aspirations. That's really important to understand what that is. So is it, you know what, I want to make sure I've got a great balance between owning my own home, but I still want to have the ability to travel once a year. Mm-hmm. That's very different to someone saying, actually, I want to have, you know, build up some great equity for the future and maybe longer term wealth. I'm just going to focus everything on getting a home loan and owning it faster. So very different scenarios when you think of those two customer situations. So first, let's understand your goals. Then the second piece is, what are your plans in the next, you know, couple of years? Like, what do you want to achieve? Do you want to have a holiday? Do you not? So think about your outcomes. Are you finishing uni? All of those sort of short to medium term plans are really important. The third thing I would always consider is, actually, do you have a little savings buffer? If something went wrong, do you have anything just tucked away that you can access to get you through a little tough spot? Or even sometimes, you know, you go to the dentist and you've got a little dental appointment and next minute it's like $2,000, which is very unwelcome. So it's thinking about those three things. So first you do that. Then the next bit is, are you a homeowner or are you just starting that journey? So I think there's a couple of pieces. If you understand and got a really clear understanding of those three elements I've just talked about, then it's about going to get some really good financial advice based on your situation to then determine, what do I do? So if you're a homeowner, you might be going, actually, I want to restructure and I want to break up my mortgage into three parts, so that over the next couple of months, you've got more options where you might be refixing that also allows you to pay off a little bit of your home loan faster because you might be getting a bonus and you want to put that, you know, $1,000 onto that home loan. So that means you're reducing your balance. You might want to think about changing your payment frequency at that refix. So you're paying a little bit off faster. And that means longer term, you're going to pay less interest and you're going to be debt free earlier, or you're building equity in your property. So there's a whole lot of different options that you can consider. If you're a first home buyer, the decreasing rate environment actually gives you access to the market again. It opens up that a little bit more. And so that means that you can potentially get on your home buying journey and on the property ladder sooner, which is great for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what you're saying there, let me know if I've got this wrong, is you're thinking about your personal situation first and foremost, of how much stability might you be needing? You know, what sort of ways are you paid? Are you expecting any lump sums to come through? And then you're sort of looking at, okay, if you want more stability in your life, maybe you're going to fix. If you think you might be able to make extra payments, then you've got options like that. And it's really looking at that personal situation first and foremost of, what do I want personally? What's happening with my income? And then structuring backwards from there to make sure your mortgage is taking the most advantage of that. Is that sort of a fair summary?
Spot on, completely spot on. And I think the other piece that I did mention is getting the right advice. Make sure you've got advice that you understand so you're making really informed decisions. And I think that the relationship you have with the person or the way you get advice is really important. So that's probably the final piece. Get some advice so you understand your options, and then you're going in, you know, feeling really confident around the decisions that you're making.
And the wonderful thing about mortgages is often getting that mortgage advice is free, because that's the way it's structured. The advisor is paid by the lender that you opt to go with. So that's fantastic. So whether you're talking to your bank, whether you're talking to a mortgage broker, you can get that advice for free. And that's totally standard in the industry. So it's not that you're getting ripped off in a back end sort of way there. So it's brilliant.
Life is full of ups and downs. So no matter what your everyday looks like, KiwiBank has the products and services to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is KiwiBank.
In terms of if someone is wanting to pay off the mortgage faster, we've got a lot of listeners here who would love to get mortgage free, even if it's a couple of years earlier, more than that, even better. But are there structures that can help with that, maybe?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, every situation is different. But some of the tactics that allow you to pay off faster are your payment frequency. Like, how do you look at your payment frequency to pay off your lending faster? Also, when you understand what your repayment amounts are, if you can even just up that a little bit, whether it's weekly, monthly, fortnightly, every little bit helps. So I think really try and challenge yourselves around some of the discretionary trade-offs that you can make and put it onto your loan, because that accumulation of benefit will just be compounding over time, which is really positive. I think there is a piece, as you mentioned, around your restructuring, your structuring and consideration of fixed and floating. So if you are on a variable, which is a floating loan, and you know you've got, you know, maybe each month you've got a little bit of extra savings that vary. Sometimes it might be $100, sometimes it might be $10. If you've got the opportunity even to put that on the variable, all these little pieces really add up to reducing the lifetime of the loan and what you pay, and ultimately the interest you pay, which is even better, right? So they're probably the key ones for me that I would think about.
Yeah, it's funny that there's so many different tactics that you see around of how to pay off the mortgage faster. You can have ways and ways and ways of doing it, but just at the end of the day, it comes back to making an extra payment, because it wipes off so much, right? The extra payment goes straight onto what you actually borrowed. It's not paying off interest. It's not paying off fees. So for every dollar that you put onto a mortgage, it can be worth $2, sometimes $3, because it's wiping off all of the interest and fees it would have cost you. It's actually a huge return on your money, right? Even if you put $5 extra into it, that $5 is working hard.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, the position that you want to put yourself in. And I think when we're thinking about a decreasing interest rate environment, there are lots of people that this is welcomed and needed, because it's really been tough in terms of cost of living. Mm. But I always challenge people to go, well, if you are able to adjust and make the payments, rather than going all the way, like with your refix and you've got a reduced payment amount, the challenge is, could you go halfway instead of the full reduction? Because even doing that is going to be a really good piece. You've got used to spending less or making different choices. How do you hold those choices for a little bit longer to really give you that longer term value in terms of your mortgage?
Yes, I think going halfway, like you mentioned there, is a really good compromise, because of course people want a bit of breathing space and to get a little bit of reward. But if you go halfway, you get some of that reward back and you're still making progress for future you. That's a beautiful way to balance you. It doesn't have to be either or. And I think what you mentioned earlier about potentially splitting up your mortgage, I think people often talk about, should I fix or should I float, or should I 2 years, should I 1 year? And again, it doesn't have to be just that one option. I mean, again, this is what we've done in our household. It might be different for other people, but we've got three mortgages with a portion that's float, a portion that's fixed a year, a portion that's fixed 2 years. And that's really helped us. And that floating bit, okay, the floating bit is a slightly higher interest rate. You will often find that the floating is often the slightly higher interest rate compared to what you might get on a fixed. But as long as you do put extra money into it, and this is where knowing yourself is good, you might make a plan, but be sure you're going to stick to it. As long as you do put that extra money into it, the floating allows you to make extra repayments without having to run it past your bank and make those phone calls and check all that stuff. You can just make those extra payments. It's done. The amount you can save off that is often more than you'll pay in the extra interest, as long as you stick with it, right? So kind of knowing yourself is also part of this process.
Be real with what you are. Like, I remember when I was, you know, in my 20s and starting out, I was a little bit hopeless. And so I'm like, right, I know I'm hopeless. So how do I force myself to be saving? So I, you know, signed up to really structured savings plans that came out of my salaried income every month. And so I couldn't get access to it. And I didn't miss it because I never saw it. It came out on the same day. So I knew that I needed to have that structure because I, you know, hadn't matured in terms of my discipline and choices that I'd make, you know, when you first go into the workforce. So I think being really honest with yourself in terms of the reality of your biases, that really can help you as well.
Oh, 100%. I always think, you know, there's all sorts of money behaviors that we will say are good or bad, unhelpful labels for starters. But I think as well, when we just let go of that and just say, well, this is what I do, and how do we just deal with that? There's always a tactic that can work with your natural money personality. If you're someone who, you know, isn't going to make those random payments, if you get a bonus or whatever, you're going to want to go out with the girls instead. Well, then maybe you are someone who should go for a fixed mortgage, but lock in a slightly higher repayment of, even if it's only $20 extra a week, lock it in. Cool, good. But know that about yourself, and know that the important thing is making that extra repayment in whatever way works.
Absolutely. Oh,
thank you so much, Nicole from KiwiBank, breaking down some tips and tricks for us there on the mortgage front and what to do as interest rates are getting lower. Yay for that. Now let's make the most of it. If you have more questions on this, anything else to do with money, do send them through. We can always include them in a future podcast episode for you. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok as FrancisCookNZ. Also heaps more money content on there for you. Most importantly though, don't forget, subscribe to Making Sense podcast so that you get even more tips and tricks for your money. And until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.